Prayer with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. This is that time of year when we all make and sometimes break New Year's resolutions. Hear the voice of one such person. After starting a new diet, I altered my drive to work to avoid passing by my favorite bakery. I accidentally drove by the bakery on Friday morning, and as I approached, there in the window were a host of chocolates, pastries, and assorted cookies. I felt this was no accident, so I prayed, "Lord, it's up to you. If you want me to have any of these delicious goodies, create a parking place for me directly in front of the bakery. It will be a sign." And sure enough, on the eighth time around the block, there it was. God is so good. One wonders how many times it has to happen around the block. It was a dark and troubling time. The political leader of the land was corrupt and had done things that any reasonable person would regard as deplorable and perverse. Yet few people dared to speak out against the corruption they saw because this leader was so powerful and so vindictive. It seemed that this leader could do whatever he wanted. He could make his own laws. He could do whatever he pleased without accountability or remorse. The leader lived an extravagant lifestyle and did mostly what seemed to serve his own desires and pleasures. He listened more to his family members than to the people he was supposed to lead. And then one day along came a homeless man who lived alone in the wild and had no other job except as an itinerant preacher to speak the truth about what is right and what is wrong. This lone individual dared to raise his voice to declare what was happening in the government was neither right nor proper. This person was quickly and unceremoniously condemned and labeled a kook and an undesirable. He was arrested and placed in jail by the rich leader. He was held without bail in a place where only the rich leader knew existed. At the end of the story, the family of the corrupt leader urged that the itinerant preacher be executed without trial in order to try to silence his troubling message. It was done, and the world lost a person who cared enough to proclaim the truth. Lest you think that I'm describing something that is happening today, let me tell you that the rich leader was Herod, and his evil wife was Herodias. Together, it was they who perpetrated this injustice. The itinerant preacher was John the Baptist. The message of truth he brought was that God himself would soon be revealed as coming to the earth. John's message was about coming of the light of Christ, and he proclaimed the truth of God even when it was not popular to do so. Those must have been dark times indeed. Times when people could not speak the truth for fear of persecution. It was in the midst of that darkness that Matthew, the gospel writer, tells us that Jesus left Nazareth and went to Capernaum. He went to a town on the seacoast of the Sea of Galilee, and it was the entryway into the region of Galilee. And it was there that he would find Jews and Gentiles and even Samaritans. Some think, or some thought, that Jesus went away to get away from Herod and to hide out. But Matthew makes it pretty clear that it was to fulfill a prophecy. The prophets had said that a great light would shine on the people who dwelled in darkness and in the shadow of death. That prophecy specifically mentions the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali. So Jesus went there to shine the light. And what was the message that Jesus preached? Jesus was saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is coming near." The kings and leaders of this place and time have given themselves over to the dark side. But the light of the kingdom of God was about to come upon them, and it was about to shine, and they had better get their hearts ready. And many, including Peter, James, John, and Andrew, began following Jesus, and many were healed. We live in a world where darkness and the potential for exploitation of others is in existence. We live in a world where people shoot one another in the streets. We live in a world where people are exploited economically and socially. We live in a world where people are unemployed, hungry, and suffering. We live in a country where more people are incarcerated than anywhere else on the earth. We live in a world where the wealthy are focused sometimes more on their own comfort and less on the needs of those around them. We live in a world where people are persecuted for their beliefs, for the color of their skin, or for the orientation of their lifestyle. We live in a world where people have to lock themselves in their homes at night for fear of crime. We live in a world where if a stranger is friendly, you automatically wonder what they're up to or what they're trying to sell you. But there is good news, and that is that God is a specialist in shining light in the darkness. Jesus came to the darkness of the first century Galilee and shined the light of the good news. And down through the ages, God has shined that light into the darkness to allow us to see the good news and act on this life-giving message. So we need to radically change, but why? Jesus was saying, repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that really mean? Well, the kingdom of heaven being nearly at hand means that God's kingdom, God's message, is about to take over your life and my life if we'll only let it happen. As a result, the people and we who have lived under tyranny, sin, and death are now liberated to forgiveness and eternal life. So the light that shines in the darkness is the good news of God's reign in our hearts and in our lives. But we need to accept that light. We need to open our hearts and our minds so that we can receive the light and the forgiveness and the healing that goes with it. And what is intended by the word repent? The word repent in the Greek Bible comes from the word metanoia, which is what translates into repent. But metanoia is the base word. The meta is the base word of metamorphosis, which is a transformation. So the message is that we need to transformatively change our hearts, especially a spiritual change in how we view the world and how we view the people in it. The message literally means to change our way of thinking, and fundamentally, a change in our thinking will often lead to a fundamental change in the way that we act. So when we are called to repent, we are actually called to do a fundamental metamorphosis of the heart and the mind, and it's a freeing of our thinking and our acting so that we can share this light with others. Because the light has come to you and to me, it will be of such magnitude that it will spill over into the world around us. So how does sharing the light, the good news, translate into the actions of God's people, especially in the modern world, not first century Galilee, but 21st century America, if you will? There are probably about as many ways to share the light of Christ as there are people who are in the world today, maybe even more than that. And the list changes as human needs change and as times change. Yet the source of the light is unchanging. So what I'd like to do is to spend a moment or two showing you some images, some light images, if you will, of creative and new ways to shine the light of Christ into the world. So I'm going to be using some pictures that you will see on the screen. So I'm looking to answer the question, who shines the light into our modern world today? What are some examples? Now, I said there are many examples, probably as many as there are people in the world. You're going to be out in time for lunch, don't worry. I've narrowed it down to just a few. See if we can get this to go forward. Ken, I'm not getting it to go forward. Can you? There you go. Whoops. Now when it rains, it pours. Here's an example. An Episcopal, we'll fight this until we get it right. An Episcopal church in Southern California has an annual barbecue for their near neighbors. That's the people who live within walking distance of this church, of their church, and it includes a mission fair. So they put door hangers on people within walking distance of their church. They close their parking lot, which means people aren't going to drive to get there. They're going to walk to get there. And they open their doors, and they set out the barbecue grills, and they have a wonderful time sharing food. And they have this mission fair where they have set up tables in one of their rooms, and they have people sitting at the tables talking about the different things the church does as it reaches out to the community, as it reaches out to the world. It's a chance for that local community, those people who live most near to the church, to know what's going on down there, not only on a Sunday morning, but during the week as well. An exciting mission, I think, if you will. Number two is called the Eden Church. You remember the Garden of Eden. This is a new church that's opening in downtown Campbell to shine the light of Christ to shoppers at the farmer's market. What a great idea. Feed the body, feed the soul. They're a new church start. They will start getting underway in a few weeks. In fact, their grand opening is on February 12th. And they're meeting upstairs in Villa Ragusa on 2nd Street, right in the heart of the farmer's market. For those of you who've been to the farmer's market, you know it's a wonderful place to go. I would hope that what they offer spiritually and to nourish the soul will be as good as some of the things that nourish the body as a result of going to the farmer's market. And with this church, you'll be able to go to both. Hence the name Eden, like the Garden of Eden, where there was plenty and where everything was wonderful. Their byline is, it's a church for people unfamiliar with church. And there may be a lot of people out there who fit that category. The third one is called the Blessing Box. You may have seen this or being familiar with it. It's a way to shine the light on human need 24/7. It's a box that's like a little cupboard that sits out in front of a church or in front of a house. And inside are canned goods, various things that people might need. And there's a sign usually on the box that says, take what you need, bring what you can, but above all, be blessed. So it attempts not only to meet need of people who have a need for food, but it also gives people who walk down the sidewalk in front of a church a chance to say, I can help. I can bring a can. I can bring something that's needed for those people. And so it's a ministry to the homeless, but not only to the homeless, but those who have a need, for those who work during the week and can't get to a place like this during the week. They can come at midnight on Saturday night if they choose. These are cropping up nationwide, and they contain non-perishable food, but they also contain paper products, toothpaste, Band-Aids, and the kind of things that people often need to get through the week. It's called the Blessing Box, and I think it's a great concept. Another one that I like really well is called Laundry Love. It's shining the light of laundry on people. Once a month, people from a church will go to a local laundromat with a couple rolls of quarters and a couple of boxes of detergent, and they will tell people that we're going to be there to help you get laundry done. If you are homeless or if you have a home but you don't have many resources to run, or maybe you don't have laundry machines, you can get free laundry service. Their motto is something like, we're loving people one load at a time. And the story of Laundry Love came from a homeless man in Ventura, California, who was asked, how can we help you? How can we come alongside your life in a way that would make a difference? And his response was very simple and very honest. He said, if I had clean clothes, I think people would treat me more like a human being. Clean clothes is a really important thing. There are about 140 of these programs operating in the United States. The closest one to us is in Fremont, California. To date, they've done an estimated 1 million loads of laundry and served over 750,000 people. Quite an impressive record. I think the Episcopals might have started this one. The fifth one is called Dignity on Wheels. It's a project that started out of an organization called Project We Hope, and basically they have a trailer that comes to various places in the community. It's an outreach program, began in 2015, and they now have two of these trailers. They started out with one, now they've got two trailers, 10 trailers, who knows. But the program provides free showers and laundry to people living in encampments, rotating shelters, or even people living out of their vehicles. And it operates throughout the South Bay area, the Mid-Peninsula area, even the East Bay now. and they have a schedule of when they're going to be at places, and they show up, and people show up and make use of this trailer. It was started by a pastor of the St. Samuel Church in East Palo Alto. Maybe it's a little hard for you to see the details, but it shows you they have two shower areas, one of which is handicapped accessible, and at the end they have two sets of over and under washers and dryers. Another of my favorite is called The Joy of Socks. It's kind of a play on a title of a book that was popular a number of years ago. But it was started by an individual who said, we need to address an overlooked clothing need of the homeless. And so it's providing socks for the homeless. And there are three reasons why this makes sense. First of all, people rarely donate socks to the homeless. Secondly, the number one need by people who are homeless is often socks, new clean socks. And finally, poor foot hygiene can lead to ill health for people. And so that's an important one as well. To date, they have served, they started in 2010, they've served over, produced 150,000 pairs of socks for people, put them into the hands or onto the feet of people, if you will. The interesting thing about this one is that you could participate in this one without being part of the formal organization. You can go to Walmart and pick up a six-pack of socks for $6.97 and pay some tax on it, and hand one pair to each of the next six homeless people that you see as you drive along the highway or as you exit shopping centers and so forth. I have a niece who does this and finds it very fulfilling. Number seven is movement, health, and spiritual centering. We don't often think about moving as a means for spiritual centering, but just limbering up the joints is a good thing to do. The interesting thing is that the UCC Church in downtown Chicago, Trinity United Church of Christ, every Saturday at 7:30 a.m., they have this yoga ministry that goes on. That's the church where Barack Obama was a member before he went to Washington. And for a number of years, the Sunnyvale UCC Church also held a yoga ministry. Sometimes it's called Holy Yoga. There's actually an organization called Holy Yoga, but there are other churches that do this, and they're not part of that organization. Number nine is karaoke night at Campbell UCC. This is organized by Tracy Puppenhagen. Once a month, our church holds this karaoke night in which all who come can take the microphone and perform their favorite song at the top of their lungs. But unlike most karaoke venues, ours is not in a bar or a nightclub. It's a place where people can stand in the limelight and sing in a safe, wholesome setting. No booze, no smoking. The evening features healthy snacks with an endorphin-releasing experience. When you sing at the top of your lungs, you generate endorphins in your brain, and it's a good thing, and it puts people in the right setting. Number nine is midweek meditation. The Congregational Church of West Medford, Massachusetts, opens their sanctuary every Wednesday evening with music and candles and soft lighting. And people on their way home from work or on their after dinner or after a stressful day can stop and sit down and maybe light a candle. They have a sign out front that says Open Sanctuary. The pastor is in. I don't know if it kind of reminds me of Snoopy with the psychiatric help for 5 cents. But it's a chance to simply sit in that sanctuary and enjoy the peaceful ambiance before you get home. So you can come light a candle and let prayer music and silence help you with a spaciousness. That's what their material says, and I think they do a great job of it. Number 10, our own food pantry. Wonderful thing. Championed by Faith King. Every idea which makes sense has to have a champion. And Faith, you're our champion in this one. We provide food in the light of God's love by emergency food and supplemental food. We're open on 3 days of the week. Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, and there is a flow of people that come through and depend on what's happening here. The Bayshore Community Church has a byline that says a progressive community reimagining a different expression of church, and they have done that for some time. They've done it here in our building for a little over a year now, I think. The pastor is Gary Hale. He's in the upper left corner there, the picture, if you see it. Not all ministries go forever. We learned last Sunday that the Bayshore Church is disbanding and leaving our location and probably not reassembling somewhere else. I feel a sense of loss. Perhaps you do too. I feel like almost like I've lost a child. But for everything there is a season. Those people will reemerge in other churches, and what they've learned and what they've done and what they've experienced will be shared. And so our thoughts and prayers are with them as they go into the community and decide what they're going to do next and how they're going to do it. Visual arts in the church. There are just a host of things you can do with visual arts. Ever since someone was tasked with painting the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, art has been an important part of worship, an important part of sanctuary. This particular one is a Methodist church in the Midwest called Sacred Threads. This is a quilt triptych. For those of you that are quilters or knitters or needle pointers or whatever, these pieces actually decorate their sanctuary. Some churches are even using photography. There are some wonderful things that are done in photography that have a message contained in them. And that's, again, part of spreading the word, showing the light. Oh, we're almost done. Hang in there. We can keep moving forward here. Number 13 is shining the light through the performing arts. The Campbell UCC Players, led by our own Flo, and another production coming online. It's a chance for the members to do a worthwhile activity that also inspires the community. So everybody wins. The community wins, the church wins, the people who participate win. Flo, thank you for your championship of that. We appreciate it. And finally, a welcoming refuge. This one happened yesterday. Shining the light of extravagant hospitality. The First Congregational United Church of Christ, the First Congregational UCC Church in downtown Washington, D.C. on G Street, which is about six blocks from the White House, opened their doors yesterday to provide coffee, breakfast items, take-along snacks, a place to stop and warm up, a place to use the restroom for free for the Women's March for Equality. Recognizing their location is important, recognizing that people have needs, they put it together and made it happen. There are so many more things that I could be pointing to show you how people in the church, people in our community, shine the light of Christ into the world. But I don't have space and time to do that. But I wanted to highlight these ones that I've just shown you. The important point is, you can have a role in shining the light. Find a ministry and engage. You can engage with one that already exists. If it doesn't exist, you can create your own. Let me hearken back to the words of Jesus. The kingdom of God is at hand. Let the Holy Spirit radically transform your heart and your mind. Then may the light of Christ shine outward through you into the community. Amen.